So when you were moving through the city, obviously, especially you said you did a lot of scouting. So while you were scouting, you were hiding, right? So what kind of places to hide were like favorite spots, or how did you approach all this?
Well, to understand that, you need to understand that city in that time was like big pile of rubbles, you know. So if we are talking about street, we are not talking about street in normal terms. I'm talking about a street that looks like after tsunami or earthquake, you know. There is no street. There is no. You cannot see clear ground. Everything is covered between under some kind of rubbles, garbage. So obviously, if you're going to check some house, you need to cover some with something from that rubbles, or even it was popular in that time to wear something like some kind of poncho, actual poncho. Actually, it was a pretty much primitive. It was a military blanket and hole. So if you choose to check somebody's house, it's already complete darkness. You don't need too much to hide. It's complete darkness. Nobody can see you, but just covers with something. At the end, you can cover it with cover. Guys used to cover with that poncho. It was popular in that time.
So you were like going on your knee, like
Yes,
down, crouched down.
going down and cover with something and just wait 10 or 15 minutes to check. Is there any movements or something? Usually, every house in that time usually have somebody to watch from that house, you know, as a guard. In that 10 minutes, somebody must make movement on that watch, so nobody can stand so still 10 minutes, probably. So 10 or 15 minutes, it was checking for houses. Most of the time, you just go quickly through that house or backyard or front yard of that house, just move without too much stopping if you don't want to check for stuff in house. Always was more secure to go out of the house, of course, because you never know who is hiding inside the house. So if you will go to the house only if you are sure that no one is inside, because if you are not sure. Most of the time, I didn't choose house because it's so insecure. I don't know that house. I don't know what kinds of stuff there is in the house. It's easy. I'm easy target if I enter that house. So only as a last resort, I choose that to move actually through the house. On the other side, very soon we realize, everybody realized, me also. When you took same part many times, same way many times, very soon you realize that some of the houses are ruined and deserted and nobody's inside. Most of the time, nobody would move into the already ruined and deserted house. So some houses were just deserted all of the time, and you already choose that house that are already deserted as a move. People just make the holes into the walls. So if you have one street, and you can go to that street, you're going through the houses. Whenever you reach some obstacle, go over that or go through the obstacle. Eventually, with time, people just make holes into the houses or walls, even into the apartment buildings. They are deserted. There is a walls through the apartment, so you can go from one that there used to be buildings that you can go through the buildings from one part of apartment buildings to another part through the holes through 10 apartments. You just don't use the stairway.
So basically, after some time, some kind of safe routes got established. And I mean, did you kind of share that information with your neighbors? Obviously, you shared it with your family. I mean, but was that kind of information like available? So one of your neighbors said, "Hey, you know, if you want to go there, go this way." Or how did you talk about this, if you did talk about that.
No, not really. In some phase of all of that, there used to be some closer, like solidarity between street members, but most, and in that phase, yes, we shared that information, but most of the times, it wasn't any kind of solidarity, like real solidarity between street members. Most of the time, when we watched for the street, it was based on fear. No, it wasn't based like on trust. It was mostly when we felt that we can be killed from somebody greater than one house, we connected and tried to form something like that. But it wasn't a constant thing, no.
And you talked about this phase of solidarity. So that was probably in the first couple of weeks, or when was that?
Yes,
time.
It was in the first period of time that there used to be some kind of solidarity. Actually, in the first period, for example, I was in some first period. I was spending more time at the street talking with folks, you know, about things, what is going to happen, what we can do to make things better. Maybe the reason was probably because all of us believed it's going to be short, you know. It's going to be all of that going to end very soon. But pretty much as we get ourselves in some kind of routine, we realize that there is no any usage of that solidarity, you know. There is no use of that. Actually, when it comes to matters of life and death, nobody cares too much for other house, you know. If you have 10 members of your family in your house, you care first for them, you know. And if you don't have enough resources for them, of course, you're not going to care for neighbors. It's simple. All was based on resources, how much you had in your house, food, water, whatever. So pretty much as all of us, each of us figured that it's not going to be enough for our house, you just stop to worry about everybody else. All just became more about only your house. Your house was your world, actually. There is no any kind of too much solidarity. In the beginning, yes, when we still had some resources maybe and some hope that everything going to be finished very soon, but later no solidarity. I guess if we all had like resources, like food, water, everybody in the street, probably going to connect more. But without resources, everybody would just turn to his own family. It was very simple. Some usual things are just changed. You know, one of my neighbors gets shot in the head with sniper only because he forget that it's not important anymore to lock one of his doors at the second apartment, you know, when he's going out. It wasn't important at all to lock that door, and he just forget on that and climb at that second floor to lock the door, and sniper guy can see him when he get on second floor. So very soon.
So he was in the house inside, yeah. But he was visible.
Yes, he was inside and he inside the house, but he was visible. I guess he forgot that it wasn't important to lock the door anymore. Actually, when I mentioned the door, it wasn't really important at all to lock the door. If anybody wanted to break the door, to just keep it with his leg, and that's it. I mean, doors are not going to stop anybody. Guns are going to stop someone, or barricades, or bags of sand, stuff like that. Simple lock is rules of sense. You know. So people just change their opinions of what kind of life is normal life when they start to show how easily they can get killed. You know, with constant shelling, it was an everyday thing. You know, somebody get killed everywhere. In front of your eyes, you know. A typical thing to get died was on two ways. Typical. It was by getting buried alive under the rubble after the shelling, and the other thing was a sniper. Sniper was especially during the first months. After that, those first months, people get familiar with spots where Sniper can shot them. So after that time, people just choose to not walk on that parts of town or run on that parts of town. Also with some other kind of weapon, like even during the night, there used to be an anti-aircraft gun on one of the hills, and he shots actually always, but during the night he shots only in some intervals. I guess guy over there on that gun didn't have a clue, didn't see anything, but he during the day he just take the aim on that part on street, and during the night he just go over there and shoot regularly every 5 minutes or every 7 minutes, every 6 minutes, and hoping that somebody gonna take the walk on that part in that time.
So they just basically shot again at the same part where they knew, like, this is how I set up my gun, you know, and I might just hit someone.
Yeah, he just set up a gun. One of those spots was close to my street, maybe 100 meters, so it was scary. When I need to go over that part of street, it was something like maybe 50 meters, maybe, open space, 50 meters. And during the day, guy shooting everybody on that part of street. But during the night, he just shoots whenever he wants to shoot on that. He doesn't see anybody, actually. So whenever I came to that part of the street, I just stand and, I don't know, choose. Am I going to run now or after a minute or after 30 seconds? It was a matter of luck, I guess. Is that guy over there is sleeping, eating sandwich right now, or smoking cigarettes, taking a break, or he just decided to shoot? So it was scary, and distance was really close. I mean, distance from that anti-aircraft gun from that to that point was something like, I don't know, 200 or 300 meters. So there is no time. I mean, there is no thing like, okay, I can hear shootings and I have like 3 seconds. There is no time for anything. First you're gonna get killed, then you're gonna probably hear the shots. So there is no.
That was different with mortars, right?
Yeah, all kind of weapons was different, but most scary for me used to be, I don't know correct word, but it was translated in English, multiple shelling rocket launcher, multiple rocket launcher, something like that.
Okay.
It's mounted on truck, and it has like
32 little, like,
okay. rocket launcher, and that thing is scary, you know.
Did it shoot like in rapid succession, like shoot like a machine gun, just rockets?
It's shooting like
all at the same time.
When you heard shooting, you can hear like tum 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 tum, and you can. It's series of maybe, I don't know, depends. Of all of them, 30 or 32, I can't remember how many, or 10 or 15. So you can hear like tum 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 tum. And before you heard last one is firing, you can hear first one is coming.
Yeah.
And it's just devastating, like 200 meters long street, let me say like that. So if you get your cell phone in part of the streets, 200 meters, and he's aiming on that street, you've just gone. It's terrible.
So, a lot of these things that they shot at you, obviously they all had shrapnels. I mean, it's probably more common to get killed by shrapnels than by direct hits, right?
Yeah, of course, it's shelling, so... And it's coming on the city, so I guess it's the difference between when shell coming on ground in some field or onto the asphalt. So there's a lot of shelling. I mean, it was like almost constant thing to hear, like rain of pieces, you know, always. And where that thing is struck you is just ripping apart. You know, it's not like in the movies, you know, you see like hole here and a hole at the back and that's it, you know. It's like tearing you apart, you know, literally to two pieces, you know. When the bigger piece got you in the stomach, you just have two sides, you know, of the body.
And, I mean, back in that time, obviously, like, one big factor of your whole life was no more control, helplessness, complete, like, uncertainty. So, like, how did you and also, like, people and especially, like, the leading people of your group try to cope with that? Because everything was out of control, basically, right?
After the first period of unknowing things, you know, before you realize everything, it's confusing. But very soon, you get yourself in some kind of, I don't know how to call it, fatalistic way of life, you know. It's not like you are brave and you don't care. It's not about that. It's more like, oh, what you gonna do? If it's my turn, it's my turn. It's more like that. So, I don't know, it's strange feeling, but I was scared, yes. It's not about that. It was like my destiny is not anymore in my hands. It is somebody else's hands, and that's it, you know. It's gonna be what it's gonna be.
So basically, I mean, the kind of hardest time was probably the transition time of, like, still having control, then shit hits the fan and like losing this control and then getting to this point of basically, well, accepting that it's not, maybe not your decisions determine if you live or die, right?
Yes, actually, the worst period for me in that part was that first period, you know, after you accept some things that, something is going on, it's easier. If I can explain it simple, life is going on, just it's much harder. So life is not stopping, you know, you're still doing all the same things like you did before everything happens. It's just a much, much harder ways, you know. So it's not like, oh, it's everything falling apart and I just having my gun and I will shoot. No, you're doing all what you did before, just on much, much harder ways. So if you need to wash yourself, you must find your much harder way.
So I mean, do you have like some stories of like how people try to cope or how trivial people like try to keep up that part of civilized living, but at the end, you know, they had to surrender to the reality.
Yes, actually, one example are kids, you know, maybe good example. Most of the time, you're thinking, oh, what about kids? How am I going to raise the kids in a situation like this? How am I going to teach the kids in a situation like this? Actually, the answer is, you are not going to raise the kids. You are not going to teach the kids. In a situation like that, nobody even tried to teach the kids or to raise the kids. It's not like kids were forgotten, no. Nothing like that. Kids were the most important thing in all of things, all of the situation. But very soon everybody just let loose some things about discipline, about the kids, teaching the kids, having the things, teach them, okay, you cannot do this into the house or do this outside the house. You just let some things go and don't think about that. Normal things like, are you going to teach your kids math or are you going to teach your kids how some manners, you know? Some things are just, forget about it. You know, just no time for that. Actually, at first period of that whole situation, nobody pays too much attention of what kids are doing, you know. It was like, keep them safe and that's it, you know.
Mm.
Everything stops that. It was most important thing to keep them safe. Just like every other member of inside the house. But after that first period is gone, again, nobody pays attention of some, it was like all needs are come down to only basic needs, you know, about kids. It was important to keep them fed, clean as more as you can, and safe. Nobody asks about anything else, you know, about kid. You know, is he having flu? You know, is he going to forget how to read or write? You know, if he had like 7 or 8 years, you know. Same about women, you know. Very soon some things are gone to basic level, you know. Even we had traditional family before the war, we didn't have anything like main things in the house. It was like every other part in the world, you know, man and woman like equal rights in the house, of course. But in that situation, some things are gone much on basic level. So man became like in old times, women was cooking and try to clean things, and that's it. You know, you don't talk too much about anything else about women. You know, women didn't have too much right to talk about anything else. She didn't even try. You know, it was nothing like abusing women. Nothing like that. But everything come much more basic. Kids like kids. Just keep them busy with themselves. Try to play some games. If you are talking about small kids, in my house, we had three kids from 6 to 8, I think, years. They just keep them busy with some game. In that time, it was simple game about hide and seek in one room, something like that. About women, crying most of the time. In those first period, yeah, actually, kind of people who had most of the problems to get used on the situation was women, because I don't know, they get struck most with feeling of insecurity, so they had in that first period they had most of the time. Men were scared too. I was scared, of course, but we tried not to show that too much, you know, because the situation was too bad even without showing how scared we used to be. But women were devastated most of the time in that first period, crying and in shock. One of my relatives, a lady, she was she didn't speak for, I don't know, 5 days, something like that.
Right
after that happened. Actually, right after that happened, but she also, when that started, she saw somebody shot someone on the street, and she, I guess, was shocked. She was in shock 5 days. So we couldn't do too much. Just after 5 days, I guess she was better. You know, she never was the same after that, but we couldn't do too much in that time. There is no doctor, there is no psychiatrist, there is no too much to talk with that person if you are scared to. You know. There is no too much like psychologist support. You know.
But how did your group like engage into like talking about things, about things that happened, you know? I mean, how, obviously, of course, you all tried to stick together and help each other. So what were like the common ways of doing that?
In the first period, we all was in some kind of denial. We just didn't discuss about some things, you know. You can't discuss openly in front of the woman, you know, about raping, you know. in the first period, you know, of that everything. We tried to keep that from them, but very soon you cannot discuss in front of the room stuff, things like that so easily. But very soon those kind of things became everyday, so you cannot hide something what happened everywhere and every day, you know. So very soon it was open thing, you know. We didn't discuss so much about things like that. We just tried to keep them in some kind of feeling that they are safe. It was the only way. We didn't discuss so much about some things, you know. Even today, you know, we can discuss about some things. What did you have to do, or what did you saw?
And I mean, in this situation, you know, as you already said, like, man understood there's no time to be scared. There's no time to be weak, because if they would be weak, you know, everything would break apart. So how was the dynamic within that group of men?
It was seven men. When I count the oldest one and everybody, seven men group. Seven men. We discuss everything. We used to discuss everything. We have to discuss everything. We decided everything together, what to do for next day. But there used to be a leader, you know, who used to know best things, and he had a final word for everything. But there is no anything like machoism, you know, in that group or any group, actually. There isn't anything like feeling of endless power or things like, okay, I'll do that, I can do that. Most of the men in that group, except me, had some military experience, because war was different before the war. Everybody older than 20 or something like that had through some kind of basic military training. It was 10 months or even a year, I'm not sure. So every one of them used to know some things. But that guy, he used to be something like in special parachute unit, so he knew some things, you know. So he was best for some things. He used to know some things about scouting. He teach us something, you know, show us something. Almost everybody else was completely blank about rifles, shooting, you know. These older guys, they used to be good with talking, shelling, talking, you know, what kind of grenades and stuff like that. But you cannot expect too much from guy 75 years old, you know.
Yeah. So I mean, this kind of hierarchy was established kind of right away, because as far as what I understand, I mean, it was kind of obvious, you know, most experience and all that. I mean, obviously there were probably controversial decisions. So
it was not like fighting for who's going to be leader. It was like fighting who's not going to be leader. It was such a situation that nobody wants to be a leader and make decision. Very soon we realized that easiest thing is shooting from rifle. You know, it's not so hard to shoot from rifle. You can teach somebody in 1 hour to shoot from rifle, but the hardest thing is to make some decision, because with that decision you are choosing, is somebody going to die maybe, or somebody going to be hungry for 5 days, something like that. So each one just said, oh great, you will be leader, something like that, you know. I mean, he had great abilities to be a leader, but I think even if I had some abilities like him, I would gladly say to him, okay, you're going to be leader. You know,
so, I mean, was that something that you maybe after the whole time, or even during the time that you heard from other groups as well, that actually people, like, when it came to really taking responsibility for your loved ones, for your, like, people you care about, that it's actually was not like fighting who is in the lead, but more like, you know, who's taking that hard, you know, hard position of, and the responsibility of taking these drastic decisions that can completely alter people's lives.
Yeah, in most of the other houses that I knew about, it was harder thing to be a leader, you know, to make decisions. So, no, nobody wants that responsibility. Nobody.
And in the first couple of weeks, I mean, was there a common pattern of how people changed their behavior? I mean, obviously, they got more careful and they heard more news about, for example, like you said, the snipers. So they got more careful, like not going in the up the house and maybe getting shot or whatever.
Changes. We were not busy all the time. Not really. But in my group, in my family, I cannot see any other changes right now except taking everything, I mean everything, to much lower level, you know, basic level, everything from thinking to acting every day. There is no anymore some casual stories, talking about, you know, chit chat, you know, there isn't anything like that, you know. Whole life was changed. I mean, we still had some good times. We still had, I don't know, some guys even play guitar in some houses. It was not like horror movie in some houses. You know, it wasn't like only silence and hard talks. No. But everything changed.
Did it become more quiet in general, or?
Yes. There used to be much more silence. Because even in times you don't have to do anything, actually, you still have much time to think what you have to do, you know, how to obtain things. So, yeah, I guess whole atmosphere was pretty much, yeah, grim,